You may be seated, and if you would, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're continuing our series on the theme, I Choose.
Yes.
Now, in Deuteronomy 30:19, God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. I love that God is a generational God. And if I choose life, not only am I going to get life, eternal life, God is going to give it to my seed also. Got any lost children? Lay hold of that one. Tonight, I'm going to speak on I Choose the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is part two of this particular two lessons. I'm talking about covenant blessings and the believer's bill of rights. But Jesus is our Savior, and as such, He is the head of the body of the church. He is the head of the church, and because He is the head of the church, that makes Jesus Lord. Is He your Savior? Oh, that's weak. Dear Lord in heaven. Am I in a Pentecostal church? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Well, I want to talk about the Lordship tonight. I want Brother Tom and Sister Cricket to come and read. They're going to read the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm together. And I want you to hear this as the Lord gave it to them. All right.
I've told y'all how this came to be before, so we're just going to read it. I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm, and Cricket's going to read the Lord's Prayer. May you be blessed. The Lord is
our Father, who art in heaven,
and our great shepherd. Your spirit leadeth me beside still waters, and maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want.
Hallowed be thy name.
He leadeth me in paths of righteousness,
and leads me not into temptation.
He restoreth my soul,
and delivers me from evil,
for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
And thou art with me
forever.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
And gives me this day my daily bread.
My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil.
And forgives me my debts as I forgive my debtors.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Give them a big hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I want to look at the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23 and 1. I want you to put that on the screen if you would. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means and speaks of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I felt like I didn't explain His Lordship properly last week, and I asked the Lord to help me with that. And I heard the Holy Ghost whisper this to me. He said, the shepherd is my Lord, I shall not want. Look at that. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, David knew what it was to be a shepherd because he was one. But he also knew something about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And being a shepherd that cared for the sheep, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He knew that he would not want for anything that God would take care of him. And I put this series together on the Lordship of Jesus Christ because you have covenant blessings that belong to you. And in America, we have a Bill of Rights. And so I said, well, we'll just look at the believer's Bill of Rights, okay? But the Lord is my shepherd, or the shepherd is my Lord. And since the shepherd is my Lord, I shall not want. Now, as I was reading and studying a few weeks ago, I came across these verses of Scripture, Colossians 2 and 6. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he said, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus, Colossians 2 and 6, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. He's talking about lordship. You didn't just receive a Savior, you received a Lord. Rooted, verse 7, and built up in Him and established in the faith, or established in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In everything give thanks. You want to know God's will. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God wants us to be rooted and established in the reality of the Lordship of Jesus Christ over us. And as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, live your life in the reality of His Lordship. That's why I love that 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer read together like that. Be established. Be built up in the reality of Christ's Lordship over your life. We belong to Him. And everything that belongs to Him, it belongs to us. That's what the cross is all about. He redeemed us with His own precious blood. That's almost mind-boggling when you think about that everything God has belongs to us. And everything we have belongs to Him. Let Him be your Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or the shepherd is my Lord. And because He's my Lord and because I've entered under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and I let Him and allow Him to rule over me as my Lord, that then I shall not want anything. Jesus is my present shepherd Lord. I want you to get that. And the word Lord, it means bread provider. It means He's our shield. He's our protector. Hallelujah. And the Father wants you and the Father wants me to be rooted and established and built up in our faith in this reality, in this wonderful truth of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He wants our faith to rest upon the absolute certainty of Christ's Lordship over us. And as you look at these covenant rights that I've listed here, once you realize the reality of His Lordship, it'll take a lot of the struggle out of your life in getting the miracles that He has paid for at Calvary. I want to talk to you on the Lordship of Jesus tonight. This is part two. Let us pray. Father, thank You for Your miraculous power. Thank You for covenant blessings. Thank You, Lord, for the believer's Bill of Rights. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Give us revelational knowledge. Lord, let our faith soar up like the eagle soars up toward the sun. Lord, and as we soar up toward our heavenly Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, thank You for giving us revelational knowledge. And Lord, that our faith can reach out and grab hold of the treasures that are in Christ and bring them into this earth and make them reality in the lives of Your people. Bless us, and everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we should never talk about our lack, our weakness, or our unworthiness. The shepherd is my Lord. I shall not want. The Father has made us worthy. And we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that guarantees us eternal life. It guarantees us a right standing with the Father. It guarantees us complete victory over the enemy, over sickness, over disease, over everything that comes against us, and it guarantees us heaven too. We are rich, 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 rich beyond all measure. We are in God's kingdom. And just like America has a Bill of Rights that guarantees our rights, God's kingdom has a Bill of Rights, covenant blessings that belong to you and me. And when you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life, you enter into the completeness of God's plan for your life. That's a good will, an acceptable will, and a perfect will of God. I saw that years ago. I said, God, I want to walk in Your perfect will. I don't want anything in my life not to be in line with what You have purposed and planned for my life. If it means I've got to change, and I was in the business profession, I said, God, I give You everything. And I had to work my way out of that. I had a family to take care of. But from the moment I got saved to this saved, I had one purpose, and that is to make Jesus Christ Lord of all and to obey Him. And I tell you, when you enter into a covenant with God like that, it puts things into your life, and God begins to put pieces together and do things in your life that others wonder, why in the world is that person so blessed? I'll tell you why. Because they're walking in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That doesn't exempt you from problems, But problems come. They're just part of being on this planet. We haven't got home yet, but we're headed there. But while we're here, I want to have that more abundant life that Jesus talked about. Now, you were given when you came in a covenant, a sheet with covenant blessings, the Believer's Bill of Rights. Last week, I talked about the first six. I'm not going to preach on them tonight, but number one, you have a right to know that your sins are forgiven and that you have received the gift of eternal life. That is your right. You can know that. Number two, you have a right to walk in divine health and conquer the power of sickness and disease. You may not have gotten that. You may not have a revelation nor knowledge. We Pentecostals, we love the gifts of the Spirit. I love them. But you have faith. Put it to work and use it. You'll never be disappointed. Hallelujah. Number three, you have a right to come boldly before the throne of God's grace to receive miraculous answers to your prayers. You don't have to come to the preacher for everything. You don't have to go to the evangelist for everything. You can go straight to the throne of God's grace, and we can pray one for another, but God wants each and every one of us to develop our own faith. Number four, you have a right to God's provision and to prosperity. We don't have to lack. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd is my Lord. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Number five, you have a right to see your children, your grandchildren, and your family saved. Amen. Just keep putting prayers in those golden prayer bowls. Hallelujah. And God will honor your prayers. You have a right to that. That's a covenant right. I saw that myself, that I was living off my mother's and daddy's covenant. When I got saved, I said, no wonder God's blessing's been on my life. The seed they sowed, God put his hand on me, and God protected me and kept me from evil because I had praying parents, and that was a praying church, and this is a praying church. Thank you, Westmoreland, for being that praying church. Number six, you have a right to a loving, fulfilling relationship with a Christian mate, so don't get unequally yoked. Tonight, we have come to write number seven. You have a right to know the will of God in every circumstance of your life. You have that right. You don't have to stumble through life like a blind man wondering, what does God want me to do? You are his child. And look at what he said in Isaiah 30, verse 21. He said, you shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. I mean, when you're making a decision that's a defining moment in your life, you need to know where to work. You need to know who to marry. You need to know where to live. There's some things you need to know. You need to know these things. And you say, I just don't understand. Well, God says if you will seek him, he'll give you direction. You'll hear a voice, and that voice will speak to you. That's the Holy Ghost, and he will lead you, and he will guide you. Look at James 1 and 5. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth liberally to all men liberally, upbraideth not. That means he will not chastise you. And it shall be given unto him. God will not chastise you for answering. God says, I want you to come. I want you to ask me. I'm your father. I care about you. I care infinitely about everything that touches your life. I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope, to give you an expected end. You can know the will of God in every circumstance of life. He just wants you to ask him. God gives knowledge. God gives wisdom. God gives understanding. God gives direction. Hallelujah. And God will give you information from heaven concerning your future. Have you found that to be true? I have. He will give you information. God will give you directions on the decisions that you are facing this very moment. And the Bible says that we are to have the mind of Christ. That means that God will think his thoughts through your brain. Isn't that something? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That you have the mind of Christ. You have the joy of the Lord. You have the peace of God. That's a peaceful mind. Hallelujah. It's yours. It's part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil steal your joy, because if the devil can't steal your joy, let me tell you something. He can't keep your goods. If you've got a joyful heart, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. Thy words were found and I did eat them. Get full of the word. Get full of God's joy. Get full of God's peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah. Then the Lord is everlasting strength. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Yes, God will think his thoughts through you. God said, if you will walk with me, you can trust that inner voice saying, this is the way, my child. Walk therein. It's called divine direction. And as many as called by the Spirit of God, they are to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You've got a right to know. You've got a right to know where you should work, who you should marry, where you should go to church, and where you should live. You have a right. That's a covenant right. Look at Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so as a child of God, you've got a right to know the will of God in every circumstance of life. Put 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I was out on that pray.com today, and someone had put something out there, and I just put a post out beside. I didn't put the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You want to know the will of God? Are you going through a hard place? Let me help you out. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now put Romans 8:28 up there. This is a law, and if you will give God thanks, this is a law that guarantees you victory. Pastor Ricky preached on it not too long ago on a Sunday night. Says, for we know. Say that. We know. Say it again. Say it with, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Say it backwards. It'll help you understand it better. To those who are called and who live by God's purpose, we know that all things work together for their good. Are you walking in the divine will of God? Are you under the lordship of Jesus? Then it's your covenant right to have this blessing upon your life. Amen. That you can know God's will in every circumstance of your life. Number 8, you have a right as a believer to claim angelic protection wherever you go. That's a powerful statement right there. Now, this is my psalm right here. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's mine. God spoke to me out of the latter verse. It said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory. But we're going to look at that later. But when he spoke that to me, I said, God, if you would take time to speak a scripture like that to me, I didn't even know where it was in the Bible. I had to get my wife to look it up. I said, I'll memorize the whole thing. So all of Psalm 91 belongs to me. Why? Because I claimed it as a covenant right. I laid hold of it. I said, God, if you'll talk to me like that, I'm going to memorize it, and I'm going to talk it back to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I shall say of the Lord, he shall do. Get hold of that. Hallelujah. Start speaking covenant blessings. And this is a good one here. You have a right for angelic protection. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now look at Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Isn't that beautiful? God commands his angels to watch over you and to protect you everywhere you go. We have a right, church, as Christians, to angelic protection. The Bible says the angels of the Lord camp round about those that fear him. God has given his angels a charge, a command, hallelujah, to protect us in all our ways. You have angelic protection over your family, over your mate, over your children, over your home, and over your city. You just got to start speaking them and decreeing them. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 103, verse 20. I love this. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Well, God has given Jesus a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So I just say it like this. Angels, God has given you charge over me. Go before me. Angels, protect my family. Angels, keep your hand upon my goods, upon my home. I dispatch you in the name of Jesus. You have a right to talk like that. Every knee. Angels in heaven are at your command. Are you commanding them? If not, why not? Start doing it. Hallelujah. Some people may not agree with me on that, but I got scripture for it. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he your Lord? Are you under the Lordship of Jesus? Then give some commands and send those angels. I love those angels. Praise God. They're flames of fire. I love this one. Look at Hebrews 1:14. Speaking of his angels. And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister those who shall be heirs of salvation? Maybe you got a child that's not even come into covenant rights yet. But they are an heir of salvation because you accepted God. God said, I'll save you and I'll save your whole house. Start claiming your covenant right. That's a real devil. Put him where he belongs, under your feet, praise God. Squeeze him real good. And when you get him down, don't let him up. Praise God. Just keep quoting the word of God. Just keep pleading the blood of Jesus. Just speak the name of Jesus into that situation. And watch God works. God does not suggest to them that they protect us, but he orders his angels to watch over us and to protect us. We are heirs of salvation, and we have a right to angelic protection. And God orders them to watch over our homes, to watch over our children, watch over our lives, and to keep us in all our ways. They are there, watching over you, protecting you, because God says, angels, take care of them. Because they are heirs of salvation. Angels, take care of their children. I have given covenant blessings and covenant rights, and I want you to take care of their children because I'm at work and I'm going to bring them in. God said, I'll call them from the land of the enemy. It doesn't matter how far out they go. I've raised three of them. I've had them do some crazy stuff. That's all right. I said, praise God. You're coming in. You're coming in Jesus' name. Oh, I don't believe that stuff you believe. I said, it doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what I believe. Hallelujah. And way down deep inside your soul, you do believe it because I put that seed in there a long time ago, and you will come in. They'd get so mad with me, but they all come in. Hallelujah. I wish they'd live a little bit better for God. I wish they'd get more fire, more passion. Don't you wish that about your children? Glory to God. Go on, praise God. They're coming in Jesus' name. And God protects them and keeps them. Number 9, you have a right to bind demonic forces that come against you. Now, I preached a whole series on this recently. I get real happy when I think about this one because I realize I don't have to put up with demons. I don't have to put up with the assignment that they have to destroy my life, to destroy this ministry, to destroy my family, or to destroy my children. I don't have to put up with them. I can counsel, and you can counsel, the devil's assignment in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood. And we were singing about it tonight. And I claim the power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 16:19. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me preach a little bit right there. Hallelujah. This is the literal translation of it. It says, whatsoever you have already bound on earth is already bound in heaven. Second heaven, where the devil and his principalities and his powers are causing so much havoc. And then God says, whatsoever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. That means whatsoever I've already loosed on earth, angels, go take care of them. They've already been loosed in heaven. Third heaven. I'm in first heaven. You're in first heaven. So between first heaven and third heaven where God resides, that's second heaven where principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness, the Bible says in heavenly places, King James says, and high places in King James. Other versions say in heavenly places. So you have that right to bind demonic power. Jesus said, you do it. Now, look at Luke 10:19. I love this. It's one of my favorite scriptures. If you've never memorized it, I quote it all the time, so you probably know it by now anyway. Behold, stop, look, and listen. I give unto thee power, that's authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means if I have all the power, if you have all the power over the devil, he doesn't have any power over you. He'll make you think he does. He'll make you think he can do something, but you can bind him. You can cancel his assignment. You have the authority of the name of Jesus. You have the power of the blood. You have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. You got some mighty weapons. You got the blood, glory to God. You got God's nature. You got God's promise, hallelujah. Start speaking them. Start declaring them. And start winning the victories of life. Jesus said, I give you power. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Power to do what, Pastor? Power to confront demons. Power to cast them out of every area of your life. Power to cast demons out that are running wild. That's what I'm talking about. You don't have to put up with the demons of fear. No, God didn't give us that spirit. You don't have to put up with demons of depression. God said, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You are not to be down. You are to be up. Hallelujah. You don't have to put up with the demons of worry. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You don't have to put up with demons of drugs and alcoholism. You don't have to put up with the devil's sickness and disease. Oh, he'll try to put it on you. Shake it off, praise God, and tell him, don't you know I have authority over you? Don't you know my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that God walks in me, God dwells in me, and in him I live, I move, and I have my being? Don't you know who I am? You said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and those seven sons of Sceva that tried to cast the demons out. He said, I don't know you. But everybody that's ever been washed in the blood, those demons have to back them and say, I know you. I know that name. I remember that name, Jesus, because he stripped me of my power, made a show of me openly, gave the keys of the kingdom to the church, and said, they have power and authority over me. And so just start using the name of Jesus. He'll back up. He has no choice. That's who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. And you can counsel the devil's assignment. At the moment you start loosing on earth, Jesus starts loosing in heaven. The moment you start binding on earth, Jesus starts binding in heaven. If you don't do it on earth, then God's not going to do anything about it in heaven. And let me say that again. Oh, God is sovereign. Yes, he is. But Jesus has already been to the cross. He's done everything he's going to do as your great high priest, except to intercede for you right now and to send the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is his dispensation to take the promises of the cross. And when you start speaking, when you start decreeing, when you start declaring, the Holy Ghost is on an assignment to enforce the works of the cross. And when you start speaking and you start declaring, the Holy Ghost goes to work. Jesus has already cut the covenant. He said, when he cried, it is finished, it means that dispensation of the law, it's over. And now there's a new covenant. And I'm sending the promise of the Father to the church. I'm going to give the church the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to give them authority. I'm going to give them power. I'm going to let them do the works I did and the greater works, because I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to cut a covenant. So anybody and everybody that wants to be saved can be saved. Hallelujah. Wake up. You have the power. You have the authority. You have the keys. You have the name. Start using it. Doesn't that excite you? It does me. Go on and praise God. Hallelujah. You can counsel the devil's assignment. You can bind him. You can do it. You don't have to ask anybody else to do it. God has given you that right as a believer. I love this scripture right here. And I look for things like this because I want to know my covenant rights. Look at Mark 16:17. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Long before I was ever a preacher, long before I was ever an evangelist, long before I was ever a pastor, I was a believer. And I just took that one scripture. I said, I'm a believer. These signs are to follow me because I believe. In the name of Jesus, I can cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, I can speak with new tongues. In the name of Jesus, if I drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt me. I can take up serpents and scorpions. I've got power. I've got authority. I can lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. People used to tell me, say, why do you see so many healings? I said, because I pray for people. I believe I can do it. I believe I can pray for you. And if I can get an ounce of faith out of you, praise God. And if Jesus gets an ounce of faith mixed with the power of God, see, I got power. And I'm looking faith. And when you take faith and power and mix it, that's going to be Holy Ghost explosion. You got power. All of us have different gifts. Use your gift, praise God. Get a saint to pray with you. Start get mad with the devil. That's what I do. I just get mad. I tell him, I say, you're not going to lord yourself over me. I am under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You are not my lord, devil. You hadn't been my lord for 36 years. I got born again. Hallelujah. When I came out of darkness, I came into the kingdom. And I've got kingdom rights. I've got kingdom privileges. I am who God said I am. I can do what God said I can do. I have what God said I have. And Jesus said, the violent take it by force. And I'm a United States Marine. And I'm a warrior of the cross. And I'm going to take it. So get your filthy hands off my stuff. I'm coming after it in Jesus' name. You're not going to have my children. You're not going to have my home. You're not going to have my wealth. You're not going to have my health. I have power. I have authority over you. So get out of here in Jesus' name. Back him up, praise God. He'll back down to the blood. He'll back down to the name of Jesus. Not because your name is what your name is, but because God has given him a name above every name. And you have a covenant right to use that name. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. I'm trying to arm you. God can show you things that are coming against your life so you can counsel the devil's assignment. He said when he, the Holy Ghost, has come, Jesus said he won't speak of himself. He'll speak of me. He shall teach you. He shall lead you. He shall guide you. He shall show you things to come. Go back to out there. I got all kind of good preaching stuff out there. Since the first of the year, God has been dealing with me on covenant rights and waking the church up to what belongs to them. And if you'll notice the thrust of my sermons, I'm going down that path of the name of Jesus, the authority of the believer, the power of the Holy Ghost, the blessings of God that belong to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are what God said we are. We have what God said we have. Look at number 10. You have a right to succeed in life. You have a right to succeed. I mean, that is a covenant right of God. God created us to succeed. And we shall succeed in Jesus' name. Now, I've had to do this many times. I rebuke the spirit of failure. I cannot fail. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. I cannot fail. God always causes me to triumph in Jesus Christ, my Lord. I cannot fail. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. Start talking like that. Tell the devil who you are. Let him know that you are king of the child, a king of the king. Amen. A child of the king. I get it right. A child of the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords and he's your Lord. You're under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It makes you feel good to talk like that. It does me. I feel like I'm 10 foot tall. I used to go into those meetings in corporate America and they were cursing and blaspheming the name of Jesus. I said, God, when I go in there, I don't want them to see a 6 foot tall man. I want to see them to see a spirit man that just goes up through the ceiling about 20 foot tall. And I'd go in there, and when I did, I carried his presence in there. I already bound those devils. I'd already taken authority over that situation. And one day, I'll never forget this, the plant manager cursed, and I walked in. He said, I'm sorry, Jerry. He's the plant manager. I'm the purchasing manager. I mean, this is the man. I'm sorry, Jerry. We didn't know you in here. Isn't that amazing? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light. You're God's light. And we'd go in there and we had a turnover meeting and they had a group that led those turnover meetings. And sometimes things would get out of balance there, you know. And I called those guys. I said, come here. I said, we're not going to have this in our plant. I said, we're going to pray. I said, we're binding every one of those spirits. I said, we're going to lose the power of God in here. But we would do that time and time again. And guess what? That whole place transformed. I had people in that plant that would ask me, Jerry, will you come down and pray over my area? Hey, just do that. They'll come to you. Will you pray for me? I know you'll pray. I had one man that really stood against me hard, you know, and he gave me a hard time, but I just loved him all the way through it. His son went to Afghanistan. He wrote me. He had been transferred some ways. He said, Jerry, you saw the letter tree. He said, I know you're a praying man. He said, will you put my son on your prayer list at your church? God said, I'll make your enemies to have peace with you. You have power. You have authority. You have the name of Jesus. You have God's love. It's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Love hides a multitude of sins. But you have a right to succeed in life. Jesus said, you have a right to succeed in your home, in your business, in your marriage, and in your family. You don't have to fail. You don't have to be a failure. You don't have to be poor. Jesus said, we always have the poor with us. Well, you don't have to be one of them. Yeah, God in heaven. How many want to be poor? I don't. I know what it is to be poor, and I know what it is to have. And I like having a whole lot more. Anybody, can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. Look at this right here, Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Why is he going to do that? That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is today. God says, I want to establish my covenant with you. I want people to see you as the light of the world. I want them to see my children blessed going out, blessed coming in, and everything they put their hands on. I want the world to see that I'm a blessing God, that I'm a good God, I'm a covenant-keeping God. And because God has that type of nature, you have a right to succeed in life. Look at Philippians 4:13 up there. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Miracles come in cans. Say, I can.
I can.
I can.
I can
succeed.
I can
do it.
I can do all things
through Christ, which strengthens me. Miracles come in cans. Get an I can attitude. Hallelujah. And shake all that other stuff off. And watch God work. You have covenant rights. Amen. God has given, God, you know, I cannot tell you about the ideas and the things that God gave me in the business world. It blew me. Sometimes it would scare me. I'm sitting in a meeting. I'm doing a $10 million contract. And all of a sudden, I have a better idea. You remember that Ford Motor Company thing? I have a better idea. Well, I saw that light. Boom, it went on. And God spoke to me and said, that company right there, they can do the management, they can do the construction, and they can do the drawings. He said, they have all of that. And so I went to them. I said, I'm going to give you a chance. God gave me an idea. I told the chief engineer, I said, if you let me negotiate this thing, I can save you $1 million on this contract. I said, I can do it. I can. And he said, okay, Jerry. I said, they can do it all. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to give you 25% of every dollar you save. I said, they're going to ask me for $50, for 50%. I'm not giving it to them. I said, they've never done any business with us. I'm going to give them 25%. They're going to take it. I said, but they're not going to act like it at first. I said, they're going to take it, though. God done showed me. He can show you things. He can put you over. And so I went back in that day. He said, we want 50%. I said, nope, you've never done any business with us. I said, I'll give you 25%. Go back and talk to your management and come back and talk to me. And they come back, they said, we'll do it. I said, the first $25,000, I said, I can already show you where it is. I said, because we can redesign the steel. I sat in a meeting with engineers, and I saw they could redesign the steel and that it was a viable way of doing it. And I said, we'll give you that right up front. I said, but every time you draw something, every time I want you to think about the construction end of it. I want you to think about the management end of it. And the only change I'm paying for, this company is paying for, is one we asked for. I said, if you make a mistake and you don't talk to your man that's doing the fire, the HVAC and the electrical and the fire all at one time, I said, I'm not paying for that. You paying for it. I said, but we can take 25% we can take $1 million out of this contract. I said, and I will give you 25%. In other words, I'm going to save $1 million for my company, but I'd have got to give away $250,000 to do it. We did it. That one idea came from God. You know what I got out of it? My paycheck, and I got the an award. What was that award? President's Award that year. I got, and that was worth $1,000 for saving them $1 million. And I took the $1,000 after I paid taxes on it. I had about half of that left. So I saw I don't have much, so I gave Teresa $100, and I gave my kids $100 apiece, and I kept $100 of it. To God be the glory. But God can give you ideas. God can give you input. Amen. And God can turn things around in your life. God wants to give you creative input. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be a success. And if you will obey the laws of God, then you will succeed in everything you put your hands to. Now, this is the principle I live by right here. I want you to memorize this, especially you new Christian. God has eternal principles. They work, and they work every time. And this is one you've got to know. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first. I'm talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and here it is, and his righteousness. That's holy living. That you are the righteousness of God. Act like it. Do right. Live your life according to the word of God. You don't break God's laws. God's laws break you. So you don't need to be broken. I hope you like I was. You've been broken enough by sin. Sin just breaks us. But you have covenant rights. You have covenant privileges. You have a bill of rights. And if you will come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look at that promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. That means a happy home. That means a good marriage. That means success in life. That means a good career. That means wealth. That means health. All means what?
All.
Say it again.
All.
All, yes. Glory to God. I'm talking about covenant blessings. If you will obey the laws of God, God will slay your giants. He'll do it. He will slay your giants. He'll make you the head, not the tail, the linen, the bar. If God be for us, who can be against us? He gives us authority through Jesus Christ our Lord and coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God will level your Jerichos. He will lead you into the promised land of success if you will only allow him to. As a child of God, you have a right to succeed. Number 11, you have a right to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no way I'll finish this one tonight. But I would not let the devil rob me one moment of being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. It's so sad to me to see people living their lives, Christians, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not an option. He is a gift. And we are commanded to be filled and filled and filled and filled and filled with the Spirit. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was in that little upper room, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter, James, and John, they all spoke in tongues. They enjoyed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you want power in your life, you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you shall receive power. Say power.
Power.
Power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, the early church had power. They turned that world upside down. People in the church today, they just argue about it. No, I'm not going to argue about it. I take the Bible for what it says. Paul was a tongue talker. He said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Some churches pick up on that part. But I'd rather speak one word in the church that people may know. And that's all they ever get. No, I talk in tongues. I speak in tongues in my prayer language. I talk to my Father in my prayer language. I get revelational knowledge. I get sermons to preach. I get the thoughts of God. I get revelation from the mind of Christ because I pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me give you some scripture here. Look at Romans 8:28. See, the Holy Ghost prays through us with groanings and with utterance and inarticulate expressions that you cannot speak in a known language. Now look at this, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, some translate, I like some self and say it self, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look at this. And he that searcheth the heart, that's the Father, knoweth what the mind of the Spirit is. Because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you want to pray the perfect will of God? Start exercising your prayer language. Start praying in tongues. Asking God. Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. I love this. Speaking not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I'm speaking the mysteries to God. The Holy Ghost is interceding. Groanings and moanings and inarticulate expression. He's praying the will of God. He said, I'm going to pray to the Father in the Spirit. And then he said, and if you pray like that, he said, I will pray with understanding. He said, I will to, I want to. I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding. So you need to be full of the Holy Ghost, and you need to pray in the Spirit every day. And if you're not concerned about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, if it's a side option with you, then you need to understand this. There will be areas in your life that you will never, never, never have victory in. You need the power of the Spirit to pray through you. There are things and that information that God will give you when you pray in the Spirit that you won't get any other way. There are miracles that will happen when you pray in the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, I'm not going to preach on the gifts, but they're like links in a chain. They go from one to the other, to the other, to the other. Somebody told me, said, oh, speaking in tongues is a lesser gift. I said, let me tell you something. There are no lesser gifts. And I'm going to end with this. My daughter, I've told this story here. She had a terrible limp, my baby, and she limped and limped and limped. I had my pastor pray for it, divine order. I had my daddy pray for it, divine order. I carried her out in the backyard, and I prayed for that child. It was time. I knew it was time. The Holy Ghost let me know it was time. And I carried her out there. See, you can know things from God through the Holy Ghost. He'll show you things to come. And I carried, and I had to use my faith. I really had to operate in faith. I laid my hands on that child. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. Run. I know the power of praise, so I got her running across the backyard praising God. And she come run back to daddy. I said, be healed. Run again in Jesus' name. And she took off running. She come back to him. This time, the Holy Ghost gave me revelational knowledge. I'd never prayed this. I was a fairly young Christian. I said, come out of her, you foul spirit of limp. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. Run again. And she took off running. And when she did, I've seen this happen twice in my life. I threw my hand out. Ramboro shakariya shatalabahaya. Spoke in tongue. And I saw my words go through the air. Struck that leg like that. She hit the ground running free. I carried her back in the house. Teresa said, Jerry, she's healed. I said, that's right. Jesus healed out there in the backyard. I went on a trip to Tennessee. Let me tell you how the devil will lie to you. He's a lying devil and the father of lies. And I come back and I got back late that evening. As my custom is, I went to the temple like Jesus does. I got there late and they were coming out of Teresa and them were there. And I got up and went to the front and the child come running out of her class. And Teresa told me, said, Jerry, she's got that limp again. I said, that's a lie from hell. I said, that's the other leg. And I laid my hands on that child and she was healed. The devil will try your faith. Don't ever back down to him. You have power and you have authority. And I'm going to just finish this thing. You have a right to long life and strength and health. Number 12. You have a right to that. Psalms 91:16. With long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. God gave me that promise. When it didn't look like I'd ever have the strength to preach again. But here I stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was in 2009. Amen. Here I am. Headed down for 100. Hallelujah. Headed toward 100. Amen. Whatever long life is, I ask the Lord. I do quiz him. I say, Lord, what is long life? I ask old people. I asked one lady. She was 95. I said, is 95 old age? Is that a long life? She said, son, why not 100? Hallelujah. That's good, Brother Ray. Pastor Ricky. But you don't have to accept sickness as you're getting older. The Holy Ghost is in you. And you can have supernatural strength. Look at Brother Bud going hunting pretty soon, 89. Supernatural strength and refreshings every day of your life. God says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So let me help you out. And I got to help me out. When I get out of here tonight, I'm going to sign some papers. About an hour later when Brother Phillips comes by, and I'm going to take this body of mine, and I'm going to rest it. I am. My body tells me, Jerry, you need to rest. And I'll tell you something else. I'm going to eat right. Have you noticed that I peeled off about 30 pounds since the first of the year? I did that on purpose. I don't want to have to work my body as hard as I used to. Have you noticed how I preach? I preach like a 25-year-old man. It takes strength to preach like I preach. And I want my body to be treated as the Holy Ghost would want me to. You need to exercise. You need to take care of yourself. God said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Everybody say, long life.
Long life.
Say it again.
Long life.
One more time.
Long
Hallelujah.
Life.
Exercise. Eat right. Take care of your body. Don't abuse it. If you do your part, I can promise you, on the authority of God's word, God will turn it around. You have covenant rights. You have a bill of rights. I typed those out for you. You can go out. Thank you, Brother Baker, for all the hard work and your group back there that you do. I get some of the greatest compliments on our live stream and Facebook Live. But you can take these covenant rights. You can go out there. Read these. Study over them. Maybe there's an area of your life. There's 12 of them. Maybe there's an area in your life that you need a victory. And say, God, I'm reading these covenant rights. Don't treat this like a sermon. Treat this like a word from God to you. Treat this like a treasure that God has spoken to me. And I've got 12 covenant rights. This is my bill of rights. And ask God to help you to appropriate and to strengthen you in those areas. I have to do it all the time. I say, God, I pray it. It's David's prayer. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, and lead me in the way everlasting. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, some of the things I preach, sometimes they're harsh, but it's your word, and I'm going to preach them. And I ask you, Master, to season them with love. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. And do it with the love of God. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's not even in the hearts of man. The things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Do you love Him? Let us stand. Pastor Rick.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my
worship Him, church.
Soul,
glory.
I worship Your